Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Gamble Pavilion in the basketball capital of the world for tonight's game.
With the pandemic and less crowd available, just some family and friends, how have you had to adjust handling the PA system when there's not that many people there and you're also in a different location than you used to be?
Yeah, it gets lonely, Ken. Actually, it is pretty strange, but a strange new world, isn't it? Yeah, the different location is up in between the bowl level and the upper level. It's a good view. I'm not going to complain. You can see fine. It's not that high. I remember back in the Don Berno days doing games at the Hartford Civic Center where it was a lot higher up in terms of rows. So it's a fine view. In fact, there's advantages. Sometimes on the floor, you're dealing with, you get screened by different people at ground level. The big disadvantage, though, is not having that extra set of eyes sitting next to the official scorer, Bob O'Day. And we would, you know, we work together. And I think that was a tip in by number 12, or we could bounce ideas off each other and be another set of eyes for each other. And we don't have that luxury now. Now, if there's something that's a little screwy, let's say a double technical, we have a walkie-talkie that we communicate with each other with. But overall, you know, just try to provide the energy. Luckily, you know, I'm a hardcore UConn fan, so when UConn does well, you know, the energy sort of comes naturally.
The point of being able to see things, you told me some time ago when we discussed about how you work as the public address announcer, it's easier to see a three-point shot being elevated because you don't have to worry about not being able to see the line, even though it's changed in recent years. But getting the hand signals from the official as to who the foul was called on and sometimes getting a clarification on what was going on is it's got to be different because you're not on the floor level. You're actually on the other side of the arena now.
Right. So when the referee comes to the scorer's table to give the hand signals of the number of the person who committed the foul, I have to try to be dyslexic and I'm reading them backwards. So, yeah, that's an issue. Most of the time, I get a pretty good grip on who the foul is likely on. Sometimes there's a play where somebody charges in. There's a pile of players like bowling pins, and you have to wait. And, you know, the important thing is just to have it accurately. And if I have to wait for it to be up on the scoreboard, on the individual numbers, they have a statistics of how many fouls and how many team fouls are up there. And if I have to wait, well, you know, that's the important thing is to get it right.
Well, the other thing is that there's lots of announcements, promotional and marketing things that normally would be going on in a capacity arena that's packed with fans and people wanting to hear what you've got to say because of promotionals for games and upcoming events. Is that still the case, even with the smaller crowds, that you've got a constant stream of messages to deliver, or has that changed?
Just between you and me, it's a lot lighter duty. They don't have the in-between timeout conversations or promotions. There's a couple of things that like assist of the game at halftime, but in general, I just kind of sit back during timeouts now when it used to be three-ring circus most of the time.
And what about the energy in the arena? I know the coaches have talked about the fact that it is much different before the game because there's always some murmur and buzz of the crowd coming in and the activity of the security folks and the vendors and everybody there. How does it feel compared to what you're used to?
There's no sugarcoating that it's not as big a buzz in the arena. There's no question about that. I think the players have to bring their energy to it, and I think the reserves are doing a good job from every team that comes in, trying to keep the energy going and provide that lift that the fans normally would. But there's just certain things you can't replace. I think the Creighton men's basketball game is an example of a game that the crowd wouldn't have let UConn lose on that afternoon. It does subtract from home advantages, not just for UConn, but for everyone. And you're seeing a lot more road teams come up with upsets this year.
Just from the standpoint of the year itself, it's been so odd for just about everything in all of our existences. You normally would be at Rentschler Field several times in the fall. You'd also be calling soccer games on WHUS during the fall. But you're back at Freitas and you're at Gamble for the normal amount of games as they are allowed to be played. Your activity is do you look more forward to getting to the arena now because it was such a quiet period up until just really several weeks ago?
Yeah, that is the question. Who needs this more, me or them? A lot of times I answer that I need it more. I definitely missed it, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to come in and see games because right now, even at basketball and hockey, it's just handful of friends or girlfriends or parents that are at the game, and I get to go, and I haven't missed a game yet, hockey or basketball. So, yeah, it's a privilege to get to do that job, and I'm certainly grateful to get to see the games now.
I know listening to the games on the radio and from having heard you and Wayne talk in the morning and just the listening to the games that I do on my own between Bob and Debbie for the women, and Wayne and Mike for the men. They're watching a game basically on television when it's a road game, and they're further away from the action like you are when they're in Gampel. Does it feel different to you when you listen to the games on the radio?
It depends on whether they get the special effects of all the sneakers squeaking and the rims rattling. When it's just a generic white noise crowd, then, yeah, I can I have an ear for that. I can tell, but... you know, I think the people that are doing the games off television monitors are doing an excellent job so far.
We still don't know what the situation is going to be as we move forward because of the string of reschedulings and postponements that we have. Is there any sense yet of what's going to happen once we get to the end of the season? I know the Big East has talked about, you know, the men will be in Madison Square Garden, the women will be at Mohegan Sun, but beyond that, we don't know what's going to happen with the NCAAs necessarily.
Some of the people in the know, at least in women's basketball, are starting to call San Antonio the Texas Invitational. So my guess would be that everybody, maybe 64 teams, go to Texas and San Antonio, and they're already going to do a thing in Indianapolis with the men. I'm just got my fingers crossed that they'll even have a Mohegan Sun women's tournament or a Madison Square Garden for the men. You know, you talk about day-to-day status in sports. That's the sports landscape right now.
Introducing a starting lineup for the UConn Huskies.